We're back with Larry Farnsworth, former board of directors with the Western Land Ambulance District, and R.J. Pilcher, who is on the budget committee currently. And we talked a lot about numbers and about figures. And when I look at the projections and the expenses and the revenues, they're pretty far apart when we get to 2029 as it kind of curves up there. What do we need to do to get that, in your opinion, what do we need to do to get that to where we're on an even keel?
Well, having been on the inside of this organization and having looked under the hood and seeing what needs to be fixed, we did try to fix this from within. But it is our conclusion at this point that we really need to go with a private ambulance service. You know, there are excellent private ambulance services all around Oregon. And most of the communities around us are served by private ambulance services. To the north, we have Pacific West Ambulance. They've been there 35 years serving Lincoln, Newport, Depot Bay. They do so without a single dollar of tax subsidy. They don't charge you three times for an ambulance ride. To the south, we have the same thing in Coos Bay and North Bend. They have excellent private ambulance services. So maybe the only way to fix this, George, is to go private. And so we feel like these services are so professional and so excellent, why would we be paying a tax subsidy? I want to point out to our listeners that these companies are accredited by the Commission on Accreditation of Ambulance Services, otherwise known as the CAAS. CAAS accreditation signifies that your service has met the gold standard determined by the ambulance industry to be essential in modern emergency medical services as a provider. So these standards often exceed those established by state and local regulation. Well, we could have that kind of service here and quit paying these ridiculous taxes. Now, RJ, Joel Marks, he's also on the budget committee, myself, we looked under the hood. The board of directors looked under the hood. The board of directors were unanimous in their conclusion that they had to fix the cost problems in this district. And I want to quote from the chief. Western Lane Ambulance District is in a much more dire financial condition. Using current cost estimates, we will have to budget 100% of anticipated revenue to only personnel services by fiscal year 2024. Capital purchases and materials and services costs will reduce our ending fund balance until that is depleted in fiscal year 24 or fiscal year 25. Any decision by the board to further reduce the PERS UAL will have a further impact on the budget. For long-term survival, I estimate that Western Lane will need to reduce expenses by an average of $460,000 a year. An alternative certainly to be raised by the union is to raise the operating level from the current 45-cent level. Well, the board was unanimous in their resolve, but when it came to negotiations, they caved. They just didn't have the fortitude to stick with it and say to the union, this is what we have and this is what we're going to spend. The union, they're doing their job. And I should mention, the paramedics are fantastic people. The EMTs are fantastic people. We have no qualms about the personnel that work here at Western Lane Ambulance District. They are all wonderful professionals. They are represented by a union. Their union is there to protect their wages and benefits. But those wages and benefits, as I've read from the chief, are unsustainable. So the choice is, do we just make full pay to the last day, or do we move on to a different model?
And obviously you feel like because they are far and above what the average is, that the union should have been held accountable to stay maybe at a lower rate, and if not reduced, at least cut everything to the point where there were no raises or no increases.
Right, and we tried to look at everything on the table besides direct pay rates. You know, we tried to look at ways to change the health insurance or different things, or the 6% employee contribution for PERS, different things we could do to help move the needle on rescuing this department. And it just wasn't possible.
Now, you obviously, you said it off the air before we came back on, that you would like to see the community vote no on this levy. Have you looked at the immediate impact that would have if all of a sudden there's no more money there? What the transition period would be like? Have you looked at that?
Yes, I have, and yes, we have. The reality is, some years ago, I knew a conservative politician in California. He was a small businessman, and he'd had enough of what was going on in Sacramento with frivolous spending. So he actually ran for the assembly and became the assembly leader in California. And he worked there for 10, 15 years trying to bring fiscal responsibility back to taxpayers in that state. And at the end of his service, when he retired, he said to the public, and I remember him saying this, he said, if you don't want them to spend the money frivolously, don't give it to them in the first place. So yes, denying the levy is going to be the tough medicine this district needs. They will need to make some big, big adjustments if they want to carry forward as an institution. Or in the alternative, the Western Lane Ambulance District could contract out the ambulance delivery to a private company. The private company could hire the existing paramedics. I'm sure they'd be happy to do so. They're wonderful professionals. Is this a convulsive thing? Absolutely. Is it necessary? Absolutely. Taxpayers are not getting a fair shake here. Our seniors are being nickeled and dimed. Our small businesses that are already COVID stressed, they can't afford to pay these kinds of wages and benefits to their own employees, let alone the owners. I've had board members serving on the board who said to me, in our business, we've never been able to carve out $60,000 a year for ourselves, and yet we're paying this as a starting wage to brand new paramedics that come to work here. It's a difficult problem, George.
I can see that.
And
it doesn't seem like there's any easy answer, because there's going to be cuts no matter, based on what I'm seeing and based on what you're saying and based on what the proponents of the levy, there's going to have to be concessions made somewhere down the line. I guess the question would be, if the levy were not to pass, Western Lane Ambulance District could still make some tough choices and stay in control, but they'd have to make some serious cuts.
If Western Lane Ambulance can't operate as efficiently as a private ambulance service, it's broken. If a private ambulance service, George, can collect Medicare, Medicaid, Blue Cross revenue, private pay revenue, they can pay their employees above market wages, give them great benefits, and they can cover their own cost of capital. They can pay for their new ambulances. They can even make a small profit for their owners. That's what America's about, entrepreneurial opportunities. There's nothing evil about small business efficiency in providing ambulance services. If our Western Lane Ambulance District, existing government-run boondoggle, can't learn how to do that, then we need to be done with it and move out and contract with one of these companies who would be delighted to come here. Now, let me just mention, these companies that serve these other coastal communities, they have exactly the same challenges we do. They have seniors on the coast. They have tourists who come to visit, and they either get sick or injured or need medical care. And if that medical care is not acute enough or available here on the coast, they are transferred up to the valley. We all do this. They do it. They transfer people up to Samaritan. We transfer people up to Riverbend. This is not new. Okay? They have critical care paramedics. We have critical care paramedics. But their supervisors make about $70,000. Ours make $122,000. Just on its face, you can see that this district has a long ways to go to fixing the cost problems that they have.
What about the sense that, for example, we have the dunes here, a lot of calls. I get the active 911 on my phone, and we get a lot of calls to the dunes. That's something that's not your typical ambulance response. You would have to train a whole group of people, new people, to do this.
And these companies offer a variety of those services. They even have the mobile integrated health that we offer in this community. They're doing all kinds of lift assists. They're supporting with, and they're even embedded in some of the fire departments up the coast. You know, they share quarters or parking facilities, what have you, but the actual transport of the patient is done on a private business basis instead of being a government-fed boondoggle. So, yes, it's something for taxpayers to look at. If you like paying three times for an ambulance ride, keep voting for the levy. If you feel like you need to see more fiscal responsibility, and maybe they will have to knuckle down and analyze their expenses. And maybe the chief, if the levy fails, will go to the union and say, I'm sorry, I just don't have it anymore. We're going to have to change things up.
RJ, I just want to make sure that you have a chance if there's anything else on your plate that you wanted to bring up. I know you agree with Larry on the quality of care that the EMTs and folks provide here, but other than that, is there...
Well, I think you were asking, what's the timeline? We're all going to get our tax bill this November, and we're all going to be paying our property taxes, and the levy will be paid this year. It's in force right now. The vote is for the future.
So you'd have that transition period.
So they have the budget that they have right now is fully funded to June 30. What this does is it gives the board the ammunition to be able to go into negotiations and say, listen, the taxpayers have spoken. We have to make some tough decisions, and this is where we're going to go. So the best thing that the public can do is vote no on this levy so that the board has the ammunition to go forward and do negotiations in good faith and get things taken care of. If they're unwilling or unable to do that, at that point, then we need to look at another model.
All right. Thank you both for being here today and giving us this information. And we appreciate your time. Larry Farnsworth, former board of director on Western Lane Ambulance District, and RJ Pilcher, who is a member of the Budget Committee. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up next, we'll talk Frank Herbert's Dune with the folks from City Light Cinema and the Sayasaw Public Library on the October edition of Our Town.